Why, how now, monsieur? What a life is this, that your poor friends must woo your company. What? You look merrily.
A fool, a fool. I met a fool in the forest. A motley fool, a miserable world. As I do live by food, I met a fool, who laid him down and basked him in the sun and railed on Lady Fortune in good terms, in good set terms, and yet a motley fool. Good morrow, fool. Quoth I, no, sir, quoth he, call me not fool till heaven hath sent me fortune. And then he drew a dial from his poke, and looking on it with lackluster eye, says very wisely, it is 10 o'clock. Thus we may see, quoth he, how the world wags. 'Tis but an hour ago since it was 9, and after 1 hour more it will be 11. And so from hour to hour we ripe and ripe, and then from hour to hour we rot and rot, and thereby hangs a tale. When I did hear the motley fool thus moral on the time, my lungs began to crow like chanticleer, that fools should be so deep contemplative. And I did laugh sans intermission an hour by his dial. Oh, noble fool, a worthy fool. Motley's the only word.
What fool is this?
A worthy fool. One that had been a courtier, and says, if ladies be but young and fair, they have the gift to know it. And in his brain, which is as dry as the remainder biscuit after a voyage, he has strange places crammed with observation, the which he vents in mangled forms. Oh, that I were a fool! I am ambitious for a motley coat.
Thou shalt have one.
It is my only suit. Invest me in my motley. Give me leave to speak my mind, and I will through and through cleanse the foul body of the infected world, if they will patiently receive my medicine.
Spy on thee, I can tell what thou wouldst do.
What for a counter would I do but good?
Most mischievous foul sin, in chiding sin, for thou thyself hast been a libertine, a sensual as the brutish thing itself, and all the embossed sores and headed evils that thou would license a freefooter's court which thou disgorge into the general world.
Why, who cries out on pride that can therein tax any private party? Doth it not flow as hugely as the sea, till that the weary very means do ebb? What woman in the city do I name when that I say the city woman bears the cost of princes on unworthy shoulders? Who can come in and say that I mean her when such a one as she, such is her neighbor? Or what is he of basest function that says his bravery is not on my cost, thinking that I mean him, but therein suits his folly to the metal of my speech? There then, how then, what then? Let me see wherein my tongue hath wronged him. If it do him right, then he hath wronged himself. If he be free, why then my taxing like a wild goose flies, unclaimed of any man. But who come here?
Forbear and eat no more.
Why, I have eaten none yet.
Nor shalt not till necessity be served.
Of what kind should this cock come of?
Art thou thus bolden, man, by thy distress, or as a rude despiser of good manners, that in civility thou seemest so empty?
You touch my vein at first. The thorny point of bare distress hath ta'en from me the show of smooth civility. Yet am I inland-bred and know some nurture. But forbear, I say, he dies that touches any of this fruit till I and my affairs are answered.
When you will not be answered with reason, I must die.
What would you have? Your gentleness or force? More than your force moves to gentleness.
I almost die for food, and let me have it.
Sit down and feed, and welcome to our table.
Speak you so gently? Pardon me, I pray you. I thought that all things had been savage here, and therefore put I on the countenance of stern commandment. But what e'er you are that in this desert inaccessible, under the shade of melancholy boughs, lose and neglect the creeping hours of time? If ever you have looked on better days, if ever been where bells have knolled to church, if ever sat at any good man's feast, if ever from your eyelids wiped a tear, and know what 'tis to pity and be pitied. Let gentleness my strong enforcement be, in the which hope I blush and hide my sword.
True is it that we have seen better days, and have with holy bell been no to church, and sat at good men's feasts, and wiped our eyes of drops that sacred pity have engendered. And therefore, sit you down in gentleness, and take upon command what help we have, that to your wanting may be ministered.
Then but forbear your food a little while, whiles, like a doe, I go to find my fawn and give it food. There is an old poor man who after me hath many a weary step limped in pure love. Till he be first sufficed, oppressed with two weak evils, age and hunger, I will not touch a bit.
For go, find him out, and we will nothing waste till you return.
I thank ye, and be blessed for your good comfort.
Thou seest, we are not all alone unhappy. This wide and universal theater presents more woeful pageants than the scene wherein we play.
All the world's a stage, but all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. And then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail unwillingly to school. Then the lover, sighing like furnace, with a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow. Then a soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good capon lined, with eyes severe and beard of formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances. And so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again toward childish treble, pipes and whistles in his shrouds. Last scene of all, that ends this strange, eventful history, is second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
Welcome. Set down your venerable burden and let him feed.
I thank you most for him.
So had you need. I scarce can speak to thank you for myself.
Welcome. Fall to. I will not trouble you as to question you about your fortunes. Give us some music and good cousin, sing.
Blow, blow the wind to wind. Thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Thy tooth is not so keen because thou art not seen, although thy breath be rude. Hey ho, sing hey ho unto the green holly. Most friendship is feigning, most loving mere folly. Then hey ho, the holly. This life is most jolly.
If that you were the good Sir Odin's son, that you whispered faithfully you were, and as mine eye doth his effigies witness, most truly limed and living in your face, be truly welcome hither.
Sir,
I am the duke that loved your father.
My lord.
The residue of your fortune? Go to my cave and tell me. Good old man. Thou art right welcome as thy master is. Support him by the arm. Give me your hand, and let me all your fortunes understand.